The International AIDS Conference returns to the U.S. for the first time in nearly a quarter century. While Washington, D.C. plays host to the conference, the nation's capital has a long way to go in addressing its own AIDS epidemic. We'll speak with Native Washingtonian and Housing Works organizer Larry Bryant, who says HIV/AIDS must be seen as a social justice issue, not just a health issue. We go now to Larry Bryant.
We could find a vaccine tomorrow that will eliminate all new infections by this weekend. We could use that vaccine to inject people who are currently HIV positive, the 1.5 million plus that we know of in the States. And by this time next week, there are no more people living with HIV in the city and no more coming. But if we don't address those fundamental issues within the social structure that allow people to sleep in front of the White House, you know, 365 days in a year, that we don't, you know, put in place the services that protect women, that protect girls from being beaten and raped, and, you know, basically, you know, dying in silence, that we don't, you know, put in place policies that allow homophobia and racism and sexism to just run rampant. If we don't put these fixes in place in the social, you know, in the entirety of the social system, we're just waiting for the next epidemic. HIV will be gone. Something else will take its place.
International AIDS Conference is returning to the U.S. for the first time in nearly a quarter century. The conference began in 1985 in Atlanta, where more than 2,000 scientists from around the world came together to discuss a disease that had begun to have a devastating impact but was not well understood by many. Since that time, 18 conferences have been held, but not since 1990 is the International AIDS Conference taking place on U.S. soil. The reason? A Department of Health and Human Services initiative added AIDS to the list of diseases that can prevent a person from obtaining a visa to enter the U.S. However, under President Obama, this travel ban was lifted in 2009. In July, the eyes of the international community will be on the nation's capital, as 25,000 delegates from almost 200 countries are expected to attend the 2012 International AIDS Conference. But D.C. has a long way to go in addressing its own AIDS epidemic. While the Centers for Disease Control considers anything above 1% of a population being infected with HIV to be a generalized and severe epidemic, in D.C. at least 3% of residents have the disease. Joining us in studio is Larry Bryant, National Field Organizer for Housing Works and co-chair of D.C. Fights Back. Welcome, Larry Bryant.
Thank you, Pete. Welcome to be here.
It's great to have you. Before we touch on the significance of the International AIDS Conference coming to D.C., your hometown, talk about the situation that D.C. is in right now regarding HIV and AIDS. Paint the picture for us.
Well, I mean, the picture, I mean, we need many, many strokes to paint this picture, but we're talking about the definition of disparities through health, through education, through economic injustices that has allowed an epidemic to fuel within its most marginalized populations. We're talking about a city government that's at best inept and ineffective with addressing or even articulating any of the issues that affect D.C. citizens, including housing for the homeless. We're talking about implementing strategies such as comprehensive sex and sexuality education in all school-age settings. We're talking about the subtraction of funds for women's health services and so forth and so on. So we're sinking deeper and deeper into this couple of decade-long issue and problem that's deadly, you know, impacting every citizen in the district in a deadly fashion, but we're not doing enough to address it. And we seem to have a kind of an unwillingness, a paralyzing effect among our city's leaders to be able to do something about it.
Larry Bryant, early in the program, we played a clip of an interview we did, I think it was 2010, and it was eye-opening to me to hear you say that we really need to understand AIDS not so much as a health issue, but as a one regarding social justice. Can you just elaborate on that a bit?
In order to really truly articulate what the AIDS epidemic is, what the HIV AIDS and epidemic is, not just in D.C., but around the country, around the world, we look at who it affects most, the people who are living in poverty, the people who are marginalized through homophobia, through sexism, through racism. And how the link to poverty, the link to lack of education, the link to all these different disparities are the factors that contribute to the epidemic. The HIV epidemic in itself is a symptom of the social justice issues that we as a country have not been able to adequately address, to adequately attach solutions to, and to articulate in a way that thinks about how we talk about equality to the you know, to the access to quality education and services, jobs across the board that our citizens deserve and need. When we allow that environment to exist, especially here in the nation's capital, then we're setting ourselves up to fail. If we found a vaccine, I know one of the demands that we in the AIDS community want to see is more research funding for research for a cure. If we found a vaccine and a cure today, we're still and allow homelessness, allow poverty, allow homophobia, sexism, sexual violence, all these different issues to exist. We're just waiting for the next epidemic. So we have to not just talk about ending HIV, but all the different steps that lead to making our society healthier, starting with our most marginalized populations.
D.C. is increasingly a city that's unaffordable for many people, and particularly for folks who made the city so special, Native Washingtonians. It seems at times that instead of addressing poverty and other issues, what happens is that it just changes its address, push it into what's called Ward 9. There are 8 wards in D.C., Ward 9, Prince George's County, but push it out of D.C. Is this something you see with regards to HIV and AIDS as well?
Exactly. I mean, what we're seeing is kind of a systematic ignoring, if you will, of who the epidemic is affecting and the solutions that will go towards addressing the people, the citizens that are truly affected. We've seen very recently in the news about the huge disparities in economic income among the city's citizens. We've seen the huge disparity among educational and health, positive health outcomes among our citizens. These things are fueling the runaway. I mean, if we just increase the property values, if we increase rents, we're at the same time we're decreasing job opportunities for those who aren't being educated in the right way. We're just opening the trap door for those who don't have lawyers, law degrees and PhDs, and we're not putting the systems in place to make sure that those who are on the lower end of the spectrum have any kind of stability, any kind of support. So not only are people leaving the district to go out to the suburbs, they're leaving the district to go to South Carolina. Or worse, in the case of HIV and AIDS, they're dying. You know, the people are dying. Our numbers are going down because of the deaths due to HIV, due to AIDS, and because of other health disparities as well. So it's kind of a domino effect that, again, doesn't paralyze. It's like a waiting period. If we wait long enough, the problem will go away. Why would it go away? Because people can't afford to stay here. That's not a solution. That's neglect.
Larry Bryant, what is the significance of the International AIDS Conference coming back to the U.S.? And why has it not, it's almost a quarter century, it hasn't been here? What's the deal with that?
Well, the biggest barrier of having the International AIDS Conference in the United States has been the United States and its ban on people living with HIV entering the country. At the end of the previous administration, President Bush, and transitioning into Obama's first year, the movement has been made to lift that ban on people living with HIV entering the country. So having the conference here became possible. However, we still have a ban on sex workers. We still have a ban entering the country. We still have a ban on people with drug or criminal histories on their record entering the country. So there is still work to do into allowing true transparency, true kind of access for those, especially those who should be at this conference representing their countries around the world. And when we're talking about the communities most represented, most hit by the HIV and AIDS epidemic, the importance, I mean, the opportunity of having it here in the District of Columbia, I think it's huge for district residents and district citizens and the policies for the local community organizations, the AIDS 2012 DC Community Coalition, who is a collection of organizations around the city representing some of the key stakeholders in addressing policy and making changes, communicating with the government to make sure that we are reaching our goals, that we are making goals to address the epidemic, lowering new infection rates, ending the epidemic ultimately. This is an opportunity to use that international platform to make sure that these things are done, that the decision makers, starting with the mayor on down through the task force, the mayor's task force, and the other city council members, that they're doing, putting in place the correct strategies that help reduce those new infections, that help provide funds for the services that are currently drowning to just stay open, that we are aiming towards what the president calls an AIDS-free generation. Once the conference leaves, that influence, that leverage no longer exists. So then how can we make sure that that accountability remains? I think it's important between here and July that we're doing our best to make sure that we are talking about it out loud, that we are setting goals that we can hold political leaders as well as other decision makers in the city accountable, and that we're making sure that we fulfill the goals that both the D.C. Community Coalition and other people living with HIV and AIDS in the city want to see, again, going towards ending the epidemic in the city.
As you see so many countries from around the world gathering, you have a chance to see how other countries are dealing with this problem. How does the U.S. rank on that list?
Well, the U.S. Has a very different epidemic in regards to the global epidemic. I mean, we share a lot of the same advocacy. The U.S. funds a lot of programs happening around the country, around the world, rather. But there are also things that we can learn from other countries. The National AIDS Strategy, for example, is something that came several years after PEPFAR, which is a kind of a global pot of money that's provided for strategies and services in other countries to address the epidemic in their communities. And there are accountability points to help show that the money is being spent. Education, prevention, care, and services are the strategies are being effective, and they remain funded. Here in the United States, we have to follow that same plan. We know that, especially in Africa, in the Southeast Asia, in the Caribbean, the epidemic is very violent, especially among women, and the resources are very slim. So we have to make sure that. There's a lot of very smart people on the global level dealing with global advocacy that are making sure that we're fully funding all these programs globally to make sure that we're not just addressing certain populations or certain strategies, but we're using all that works. And they're making sure, when those voices come to D.C., that we're talking on one accord.
I wish we had a lot more time, Larry Brown. I want to get your final thoughts, but I also want to ask about what role shame plays in this epidemic. Not only are you a leading advocate for this, you yourself have HIV and have spoken out on the front lines of speaking out on this issue, but thanks so much for your time. Any final thoughts you care to share?
At the end of the last International AIDS Conference in Vienna, I, among other people from the Washington, D.C. area and the United States, talked about the goals of addressing the HIV/AIDS epidemic in the United States, and how that, knowing that this is the summer of elections among D.C. council members, that is the a national election for president or re-election, depending on who you're voting for, that we would take this opportunity to make sure that we would celebrate the strategies put in place that are working. But that we would also make sure that we would let the president, President Obama, that Vincent Gray and the leadership in the city council know that if we don't see those changes happen, that we will let them know, and that we will let them know visually, vocally, and vehemently. We have to end this up. We understand the methods by which to prevent, to treat, and to care for people living with HIV so that we can truly not just talk about ending the AIDS epidemic, but that we truly can. And I hope that this opportunity provides a big boost in taking us in that direction.
That's the voice of Larry Bryant, National Field Organizer for Housing Works and co-chair of DC Fights Back. When we come back, we'll be talking taxi issues in DC and New York. Thanks, Larry Bryant.